I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language, a special edition about life, love, and wealth. I watched a TV show recently entitled The Hidden Costs of Having a Child. You know, it was really a horror movie with an economic theme. Scary stuff, but fortunately I'm past those concerns with my 27-year-old daughter. And why shouldn't I think that way? After all, Mom and Dad, she graduated debt-free from Wellesley, got a master's from MIT, and has a real job. The second happiest day of my life when she got a job, yes! But maybe I and we, fellow parents, shouldn't be so complacent, because just when you thought it was safe to plan your first vacation in a decade, author Elizabeth Fischel, did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Oh, good my goodness. She shows up at the door with her new book entitled, When Will My Grown-Up Kid Grow Up? It's a reality check, a slap in the face. For parents of children 18 to 29, you need this book. Why do people need this book, Elizabeth? Oh, by the way, welcome to Body Language.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and I loved hearing the story of your daughter, and congratulations, she is gainfully employed.
It's absolutely terrific. I remember going to the graduation at Wellesley and chatting with a lot of parents. You know, this is just anecdotal evidence, but I was surprised by the number of people who only had one child, and they put all the resources into that one child. However, you know, kids grow up and become independent and blast out the door and launch, or do they, Elizabeth?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the thing that we found and the premise of this book is that there's a much lengthened stage, which we call emerging adulthood, from 18 to 29. It's not adolescence. It's not full-fledged adulthood. And what's happening is our grown kids are delaying reaching the milestones that we reached earlier in the 20s. Or I'll say some of us.
Yes, right,
in
yes.
California,
speak
we
for
took
yourself,
our time
Elizabeth.
As well.
I'm looking at a chapter entitled The Bank of Mom and Dad. Oh, I've been down that road. I used to go shopping in Boston with my daughter. Well, let me describe what shopping translates to. She went shopping and I paid the bills.
Right, right. Well, here's what we found about, you know, the financial independence. Again, in our generation, you know, we being the parents, we may have taken a few years to get our financial bearings, but certainly by our early to mid-20s, we were more or less employed, and some of us had jobs that might last for a long, long time. For this generation, they're not really reaching financial independence and taking full responsibility until their much later 20s.
Why is that, Elizabeth?
And there are a number of reasons. You know, the lousy economy is, of course, the first reason. It's harder to get a job. It's a little easier for kids who have college degrees, like your fine Wellesley daughter, but certainly without college degrees, it can be a very lengthy, difficult process. And even with it, it can be lengthy.
I hear from a lot of people at PR agencies, and invariably when they sound reasonably young, I will ask them if they're an intern. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I'm an intern. And then my next question is, are you an unpaid intern? They'll go, yeah, but they tell me this could work into a real job. Ooh.
Yeah, sometimes it does, but sometimes they're just replaced by another unpaid intern.
And there seems to be a lot of
these days, the hiring is so tight that there's competition even for internships. So because they are seen, of course, as a step up the ladder. So it's the unemployment and underemployment. It's the student debt. You know, graduates are carrying something like $27,000 on an average. I mean, not all, but many.
And graduates of medical school are frequently carrying six figures.
$200,000.
It's an incredible burden that informs, that influences every choice you make in your life. Where to live, if you'll have a car or not, what to eat, clothes on your back, a vacation. It's a terrible monkey on your back burden.
Absolutely. And then the third thing is the skyrocketing cost of housing.
Oh.
So this is why we're having the boomeranging phenomenon where so many young people post-college, you know, sometime in their, like, 22s and on up, are coming home to live with mom and dad. But the good news is that the boomeranging is usually just a transitional phase, as is the need to keep the bank of mom and dad continually open. And the guidance that we say is, if you can encourage your kids to have a plan with a capital P, if they've moved home, or even if they haven't moved home but you're still helping to support them, you know, if you see that they're on a path, if you see that they're applying to graduate school and they have that path in mind, or if they are taking an internship and it's either unpaid or underpaid, or even if they have a not very exciting job but are trying to earn at least something to cover the cost of living with other dreams in mind, then I think it's easier for parents to think, okay, I'll do this in a transitional way while my kid is getting on his or her feet.
Our guest is Elizabeth Fischel. Did I pronounce that correctly a second time?
Yes,
who's the co-author of When Will My Grown-Up Kid Grow Up, subtitled Loving and Understanding Your Emerging Adult. The message that I got from Chapter 10, The Bank of Mom and Dad, is start the conversation, have the talk early and often about money and stated expectations on both sides of the table. What are your thoughts? Did I get the right impression?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's terrific if there's been a financial conversation from the early years, maybe coupled with a small savings account that you're showing your child how to make deposits and think of that as a good goal.
Financial literacy, essentially.
Yeah, financial literacy, absolutely.
You know, I have often said that health is your most valuable personal and professional asset, and I'm using money terms there. You say in the book, a jobless college grad skimps on car or health insurance, and then boom, they are just one collision or one broken ankle or worse away from disaster. Having health coverage and insurance coverage on the automobile is so crucial, because the chickens really come home to roost if your kid gets into trouble, especially if alcohol is involved in an auto accident and they're incapable of working, well, because they're in jail. Now, I know that sounds like a worst-case scenario.
Now, you're getting very dire.
I know that sounds like a worst-case scenario,
right.
But skimpy on health coverage and insurances in general can be disastrous.
It really can. I mean, we're fortunate now because with Obamacare, young people can be covered on their parents' policies until they're 26. So that does give a few extra years for them to get on their feet and find that good job that will provide health insurance. But even if your child doesn't have that job with health insurance, by all means, encourage him or her to get a policy. If you're able to help out, you know, I think that that's one of the best
ways
to do it.
It's a great investment. How can people effectively use this book as not only a roadmap and a guide, but a conversation starter?
In each chapter, we also provide sort of prescriptive advice for keeping the channels open, staying connected, but also stepping back and letting grown kids find their way. And that's very hard for our generation, because we've been used to doing a fair bit of micromanaging and, you know, are you going out in that, or, you know, weighing in on choices about friendship and what they're studying in school. But this is the time in the 20s when we really need to let our kids learn from their own trial and error.
And making that transition easier and helping your child to launch is Elizabeth Fischel, the co-author of When Will My Grown-Up Kid Grow Up, subtitled Loving and Understanding Your Emerging Adult. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for joining us today on Body Language.